Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, Bucknutters. It is Tuesday, May 5th, 2020. I am Dan Rubin. This is the Bucknuts Morning 5 and Change. A little bit delayed to start the day. Don't blame us. It's the coronavirus. A little bit gray outside. Dwayne, how goes it in the capital city of Columbus?
Oh, we're still dealing with spring coming along, so everything's good. Everything's good. My dogs are happy. That's always a priority for me. So, you know, just missing sports, man. It's really just when you get to the weekend, you're usually excited. Well, I'm like, oh, damn.
Hopefully today we can provide a little bit of a diversion from the coronavirus and just talk football. We are going to assume right now, for the purposes of this podcast, that everything is all systems go. Today, we are going to get started on Dwayne's Too Deep. We're going to start with two positions, quarterback and running back, and then take a quick break and come back. Mel Kiper of ESPN has released his 2021 NFL draft rankings, top five by position. Of course, it's not gospel, and we know some of you aren't huge fans of Kiper, but it is interesting fodder to discuss. And once again, it looks like the draft will be a large advertisement for your Buckeyes, so that's something to look forward to. Let's get started with the depth chart quarterback. We're not going to spend too much time on the number one. Obviously, everybody knows that's Justin Fields. When they take the field, who will be the backup quarterback?
That is one of the huge questions. Okay, do you want to go with a guy that's a veteran but, you know, is not necessarily the best player, somebody who can just manage the offense for you? You know, we got a couple of guys, some walk-ons, we got some guys that transferred in and all that kind of stuff. But here's what would be the question that would be driving me if I was Coach Day, and that is the chances of Fields comes back for next season is slim to none. And old Slim, he done left town. He's not coming back. So you want to stick some guy in there that has never played before? I think that's a huge mistake. So we'll see who they like better. Is it going to be Jack Miller? Or is it going to be C.J. Stroud? We don't know. We'll see. We don't have a lot of time to find out because, you know, if nothing else, this is going to be a bit condensed. I believe the off season will be, you know, the preparation camp for football season is going to be, they're going to try to compress it. I just can't see any other way. They're going to try to push it till they have just enough time. Keeping people away, social distancing. But you got to try to have one of those kids ready to play for next year. So I don't know which one's going to win it. I still have, as much as I love Jack Miller, I've been a big fan of his all along. I think Stroud is coming along better. He's improving little by little more than Miller. And one of those reasons is Miller's hurt. He's gotten injured so much that you got to think about it. You got to wonder just how healthy this guy is and how is he going to be an injury-prone guy? And, you know, I don't blame injury-prone guys. You know, I'm not angry at him. I don't say, well, he's a bust. If you're injured, you're injured. But you also have to accept the reality that if you're injured, you can't play and I can't count on you, so I got to go with somebody else. So let's see how healthy he comes in. And I just can't imagine that we're going to have the backup be one of those guys that was here last year just you've got to prepare a kid. You've got to have him getting adjusted to that game, the speed of the game, getting comfortable, because all of a sudden he's going to be running into people, that pass rushers that are going to be able to get to him. It's not like in high school where he can just run away from them or step away from them. He's got to get used to handling a pass rush. I really think this is important, and I think Ryan Day will try to get one or both of those youngsters in there as much as possible, and have them at least have a feel for being under center in a game that is going to be infinitely faster than what he's used to.
You certainly would rather see Justin Fields take every snap next year within reason. We're going to move to running back now, a very interesting position. J.K. Dobbins is no longer on the throne. He will now be on football cards next to Lamar Jackson. There's a big hole at running back, and there's questions with everyone you would put in there. Trey Sermon transferred from Oklahoma. He is coming off a knee injury. Master Teague suffered an Achilles injury. Marcus Crowley suffered a knee injury. Steel Chambers is young but unproven. Mayan Williams is new to the game. Your thoughts on the depth chart, 1, 2, 3, running back?
Well, health has everything to do with it. Who's the healthiest? Trey Sermon looks like he might be the closest ready to go. And guy's impressive. You look at the film. He's Oklahoma not wanting to just make him the number one guy and go with him. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. This running back by committee, it usually is a thing of you need to. You don't have any guy that really stands out. And certain guys do certain things better. And so you have running back by committee. I don't think it's a good thing. You still want to have one guy that you can go to. And I believe Sermon, I put him in there and see. He's a very good receiver out of the backfield. Love to see us throw the ball, get to the backs more often. That would be just a plus for the offense, just another aggravation, a headache for the defense. So you throw Sermon in there. He's the most physically ready to go. And then Kroll, his injury occurred before Teague's injury. So he should be the next best ready to go. And that could be a problem for Teague, because overall talent, until Travion Henderson arrives here, the most talented kid in the running back room is Kroll. He's just outstanding. Crowley. I keep wanting to call that kid Kroll. Crowley. He's the most athletic guy. I think he's the best back in the receiver in the running back room, and he's going to be more ready to play quicker. And also the Achilles, we've learned over time, the Achilles tendon injury is just one that players don't ever really seem to get over. They're never as good as they were, as fast as they were, as explosive as they were before that injury. I mean, we're seeing it right in front of us with Tuff Borland. Tuff Borland was never the most athletic guy, but he was certainly more athletic than he is now before the Achilles tear. So, and that takes a longer time to recover from. So I think Crowley will definitely be the problem for Teague. I think he's going to be number two. And then you've got Teague. We'll see Steel Chambers, because he's the healthiest. He may be able to jump to the top of the list, Dan, simply because the staff is going to be saying, we can't really look at these guys a lot because we don't want to put much wear and tear on them. We don't want to stress those injuries before we actually get on the football field against an opponent. So if Steel Chambers, I've always liked him better as a linebacker than as a running back, but if he can step up and show that he can be the man, that staff is going to be thinking about, well, let's let these guys heal up just that much more. So he's a wild card in this, I believe. Let's see what he's going to be capable of. But if just going on what we have to work with, I say it's going to be Sermon, Crowley, and then we'll see Teague. Then we don't know where Teague is. We don't know that much about the injury, really. We just know it's an Achilles tendon. Some are saying it was a partial tear. It's a completely different matter if it's a full tear. who knows how soon he'll be back if it's a full tear. I'm going with the idea that it's a partial tear, and you know, he'll be back a little bit sooner. But that's I believe going to be the order. It may be different if you were just looking at overall talent. As I said, Crowley would be my number one talented kid. After that, it would just be between Sermon and Teague as to who would be the next guy. But we've got to factor in these injuries and when they occurred to project a running back depth chart.
We're going to be right back and talk about Mel Kiper's 2021 NFL draft rankings released earlier today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
I forgot to say this, but there's going to be a poll today on the site, and you can get in there and vote on who you think the top running back will be for the Buckeyes. Like I said before the break, Mel Kiper's released his top 25 rankings for next year's draft and then top five by position. Exclusive information, so we'll just share the Ohio State vibe on it. The top player he has is Justin Fields, number 3 overall. Then Sean Wade is number 6 overall. Chris Olave is number 20 overall. However, he also does a top five by position. He has Trevor Lawrence as the number 1 quarterback, Justin Fields as the number 2 quarterback. You got to think that's fair right now, don't you think?
Oh, you have to. You have to give him benefit of the doubt. What I just look at experience factor. Lawrence has been a starting quarterback on 2 playoff teams, and Justin Fields has been on 1. The experience factor is massive with quarterbacks. You know, I've brought this up on the message boards before. That the NFL did a study of successful NFL quarterbacks coming out of college, and the one thing that stood above them all was college starts. Reps are huge with quarterbacks. It's huge with anybody. But quarterbacks, it just seems to be that much more important. And the Fields has another good year like that. The NFL is going to relax. Who knows where it's going to be at the end of it, Dan, because the NFL is finally coming to terms with athletic quarterbacks and what they can do for an offense. Lawrence is awfully athletic kid, but Justin Fields is like having an elite receiver on the field once he breaks the line of scrimmage. He is going to do damage. He's a really strong kid. You know, I wonder how many third downs or fourth and inches that he converted. How many times he got in the end zone. Just he's so strong. You know, you got to – anybody that can catch him isn't going to be big enough to pull him down. So he's just unique in that respect. And if he throws the ball again this season like he did last season, I could see some NFL teams saying, you know what, his legs make a difference. We're going to put him above Lawrence on our depth chart.
It's certainly 2 marquee franchise quarterback prospects. I love Joe Burrow. I'm not sure I wouldn't rate both of these guys ahead of Joe Burrow. Moving on, they have Sean Wade as the number 1 corner. Basically, if you look at all the mock drafts, they've got Sean Wade or Patrick Surtain of Alabama going as the number 1 corner. They have Wade as going 6th overall. I have no problem with that. Do you?
Oh, no, I don't. And here's the thing, again, where he could leap over and become the sure number 1 is, you know, we've got him lined up mostly in the slot, and that's a different position than playing corner on the outside. This season, he's going to be lining up on the outside covering wide receivers. That is going to matter when the NFL – looks at his film. Can he, you know, you're not drafting a guy number 6 overall to play the slot. That's not going to happen. You pick a guy number 6 to line up on elite receivers on the outside. And once he starts doing that down in and down out, I believe that he could jump over him. His ball skills, he'll tackle. He's a lot like Okuda. in that respect, that he has both the ball skills, the instincts, and the and he'll play physical. Be complete cornerbacks. So it's not going to surprise me if he's the first one off the board. Not at all.
I'll give Kiper credit. The NFL drafts a lot by position. For example, when you see a safety or a guard listed in the first round of a mock draft, that guy's got to be an interplanetary prospect. Chris Olave, technically with Kiper, is the sixth receiver on his board, but he's the number 20 overall pick. And that lets you know that position is valued and there's talent at that position that's deep. I want to go over the receivers there in front of Olave because one of them kind of jumps out to me. They are in order: Ja'Marr Chase, Rashad Bateman, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, and Justin Ross. Ja'Marr Chase from LSU, Waddle and Smith from Alabama, Ross from Clemson. Rashad Bateman is listed as the number 2 wide receiver. Do I have a bias against Minnesota just because Ohio State's kicked their butt for so long? Or do you think Rashad Bateman is a better prospect than Chris Olave?
I've only seen bits and pieces of him. They didn't show Minnesota. They didn't expect him to be good, so they didn't have him on their schedule. Maybe we'll get to see more this year. I can't believe that he's a better receiver than Olave. I can't believe any of those guys are better receivers than Olave, actually. But, one thing, when we were talking about the guys that would go to the NFL draft after this season, I didn't have Olave in my 10, and that's just because I think we're going to be spreading the ball around a lot. We got to worry about that portal, Dan. It's got to become an issue with the coaches. You got to keep kids happy. And if they're not, they can go and immediately play somewhere else the next year. That is a big thing. So we can't think that we're going to give Julian Fleming and G. Scott and Smith and Jigba 10 balls and let them play on special teams and they're going to stick around. We got to get some balls in their hands. So I don't think Olave is going to catch as many balls. That's why I left them off. But talent wise, these guys are just not better than Olave. I mean, you had at this year's draft, yeah, there were some guys that – it was a spectacular receiver draft. But I just don't see those guys being any better than Olave, and especially the guy from Minnesota. I've seen him make a few catches, but I need to see him play a game. Maybe I'll change my mind. I've seen Ross, so I know he's a great-looking receiver. But, no, there's – I mean, that – I think that's a little bit crazy anyway. As greater receiver classes we had this year, I don't think six guys went in the first 20 picks. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't think that happened. So next year we're going to come back with another class. Six receivers go in the top 20 picks. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think it was three in the top 20. Minnesota might have picked 21st and taken Justin Jefferson, but your point is well taken. In the most recent draft, Ohio State had picks 2, 3, and 19, all on defense. This draft, he's projected to go 3, 6, and 20 on offense. But I do think there's a chance Ohio State could ultimately have 5 first-round picks. That comes back to what position they play. Kiper has Wyatt Davis as the number 1 guard and Josh Myers as the number 3 center. If you're an elite center, you can go in the first round. You saw with Cesar Ruiz from Michigan, and I use the word elite tangentially there or in air quotes. I think Josh Myers is a better player. Do you think Wyatt Davis and Josh Myers can sneak into the first round?
Yeah. And here, let me just say it like this. I don't believe there's a better center in college football next year than Josh Myer. You are not going to see guy that big moving like him. His lateral movement kept him from being a tackle. But just going straight ahead, you're just not going to see guys his size moving like that. And there's a lot of NFL centers who are under 300 pounds. You got a guy that is well over 300 pounds and moves like a guy that's under 300 pounds. He's an absolutely destructive blocker. He gets out on the second level like a guy that weighs 275 pounds. I think that's just they'll rethink that. The NFL people will rethink that at the end of this year. Myers, you got to realize how short a time he's played center. So another year, Yeah, I believe in Josh Meyer completely. And Wyatt Davis, there's no question he's the best guard in college football. And he is a really good pass blocker. When you can get pass blocking out of a guy that's in there just to go forward and knock people down, that's just a big plus. So I absolutely think that he could sneak into the first round and be the first guard taken. I don't know about the tackle class yet. Haven't looked at it. Yeah, there's no question in my mind that both of those guys could be in the first round.
The only other guy ranked is Blake Hobiel. He's ranked as the number one kicker. Finish with this. You talk about a program. We had three first-round picks this year, all on defense. This coming draft, I think we could have as many as five, all on offense. Very versatile, very impressive. Nothing new. Have a good one, Bucknutters.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.